This is a Defocus Media production.
Hey, what's up, man? This is Jasdeep Singh Soni, Opto Turban. I'm here today with James. So I want to introduce him now. What's up, James?
Hey, JD. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Of course, man. Of course. So it's a weird time we're in right now, right?
Oh, I've never seen a time like this in my life. It's just bonkers. Every day is like a new day. And there's honestly so much stuff we could talk about today, but I don't think we have a full 3 hours for your listeners.
Unfortunately, we don't, but let's try to hit some of the main points. Yeah. So right now, coronavirus is taking over everybody's life, including ours. And so, you know, as an optometry student and you're an optometrist in the field, I think it's cool if we talk about how it's affecting our life and where it's going in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start off with you. So there's been a lot of things going on in your lifetime, mainly boards. You want to talk about that for your listeners?
Yeah, so there's three parts of boards for optometry school, and fortunately was able to get through all of those and was really happy about that on my last rotation right now. And you know, things were smooth sailing until the coronavirus came. So that kind of just threw a twist into everything. But happy to get done with boards. But, you know, unfortunately for a lot of our other students, like there was a part one, which was supposed to happen last week. And unfortunately, they canceled the whole exam for everybody after studying for 6 to 8 months for it. And, you know, that was really unfortunate. And then also some of our students who had to fly to North Carolina, they actually completely just canceled all the tests for a month, if not 2 months. So people had to fly there and, you know, they had to move their plane tickets and cancel the tests, and they were prepared for it. It's been a really complex thing for students. So definitely really fortunate to be done with that.
So did you feel relief or what was going through your mind when you heard that the test was canceled for part one board exams?
I think I would say I felt empathy or sympathy for my fellow classmates who, like, I have people around me every day who still have to take it. And so I felt really, really sympathetic for them because I know how much work they've been putting into it. But after being nostalgic and kind of thinking it through, I'm definitely, I felt, like you said, a sense of relief that, hey, I am the one who's kind of gone through and I don't have to worry about it right now. But definitely the sympathetic feel for all those students who've been studying. And, you know, obviously studying for the board is hard, and you want to focus on that stress because, I mean, it's such a hard process. You want to focus on the test, and then to have these external factors, that's a whole different ballgame. I couldn't imagine being that.
I couldn't imagine being a third year and studying for 3 months, and then all of a sudden, you know, 2 days before the exam is realized, you know, you have to postpone and keep studying for an unknown date. So this virus is really, you know, affected everybody, and it's crazy to see, you know, what's been taken away from us, including, you know, sports. I know you're a pretty avid basketball fan there, JD. Who was your team? You were cheering for the Lakers. How were they looking?
Dude, they were looking good. We were always in the top three record the whole year. It's been like 75% of the NBA season, and we just beat the first and the second best place team the weekend before the whole season got canceled because a couple players got tested and positive. So, we were just about to peak. It's really unfortunate. How about your hockey team? I know you're a big hockey fan.
Yeah, absolutely. So my Edmonton Oilers were having a fantastic career year. It looked like they were, you know, destined to go pretty deep in the playoffs. But luckily, it looks like they've just only postponed the season. They'll be looking to reschedule those games for midsummer. But you know, it's different. It's definitely weird just having no pastimes to, you know, enjoy along the way here because of this coronavirus. What have you been doing lately to stay busy?
So our internal clinic, I'm at that right now in Glendale, Arizona. And so our school's trying to manage not letting us miss much time right now, just so we can graduate on time and either continue with work or continue with residency, depending on what your goals are. So right now I've been going to clinic from 8 to 5. It's kind of been decreased amount of patients. We're really accepting patients that are here for emergencies. but we are starting to continue actually more routes to see patients. We just started telemedicine for vision therapy patients, so that's going to be great to see. And we still have a surgeon who's had some post-ops, so some students are seeing patients, but we've really decreased the amount of patients, and we're doing more studying through lectures, cases, presentations, things along those lines. How about yourself? What's going on clinic for you?
Well, clinic is pretty much non-existent. I was going to allude back to a video you posted today. I saw you you with vitals machine at the front office there. Are you actually checking people's temperatures for fever and things like that?
Yeah, so every hour we have a different student at the door who is checking the temperature to make sure that there's no one with the fever. So we don't want to put anybody at risk in the school. And so with using gloves and wearing proper face protection, students are checking the temperature. And it's definitely a weird experience because every morning, even us students, us the faculty, we all have to get tested before we walk in. And so that's something that's not typical, that you can't just walk through the side door. The side doors are actually locked. So it kind of makes you feel like an outsider, but this is kind of an outsider situation. It's not typical. So is there any precautions that you're taking at the office if you do ever go in?
Yeah, so I'll just kind of go back to, you know, what it's been like over the last 2 weeks, because every day it seemed like the landscape was changing for as far as our preparedness for this for this virus. And you know, so every day was kind of different. I was actually working in Tucson covering vacation time for some other doctors at America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Mm-hmm. And the you know, we early on last week, we limited the number of patients we could see during a day and limited our hours just to allow more time with each patient, you know, ensure that all the equipment, including, you know, benches and doorknobs and things like that, were being properly sterilized in between patients. But, you know, even then it was interesting to see, you know, I wasn't dealing with anybody who was sick, thank goodness, but, you know, it was regular eye care, people coming in for, eyeglasses. And by, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, that quickly changed, and we quickly changed our tune to only urgent care visits and needed follow-up. So, you know, I was seeing one patient for a foreign body, a healing foreign body removal and a corneal abrasion several days afterwards, into Friday and Saturday. But other than that, I've just been sent home through my company. We've been are on call basically as needed for any emergency walk-ins, for, you know, a foreign body, any other critical issues, to kind of help lighten the load at some of the emergency rooms and hospitals. So that somebody that is having signs of flashes and floaters, possible retinal tear, can get seen. Probably the same thing with you, Jazeep, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Similar in terms of the patients that we're letting in the door. There's even some post-ops that we're letting in from surgeries that were done before, and some of the residents and some of the students have got to see them. Not all the students are seeing them right now, but yeah, similar. One question I do have for you, though, since you're kind of out in the field and I'm still kind of in school, how do you think this is going to change the game in terms of like the patients that are coming in? Like, we don't know how long this is going to be going on, but if a patient's like, hey, I need a contact lens prescription kind of renewed or extended, is that something that you're starting to think about, or something that you maybe have already done where you say, hey, I'll extend it for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, something like that?
Yeah, that's a good thought where you went there. We are already kind of thought about that. And any patients who were within the last 2 months had a prescription that was canceled expired, we made an executive decision to extend it an extra 3 months so that, you know, they didn't need to worry about seeing a doctor during this time They could remain indoors, order their contacts online if necessary, or glasses online if necessary, and then come and see us for, you know, their annual checkup at a better time.
Interesting. Does that go for medications too, possibly, if you were managing anything?
For glaucoma medications, maybe Restasis medications, things like that. I would definitely be inclined to do that, but it's obviously a case by case basis.
There. Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. This could last 1, 2, 3 months. We really don't know, and so it's complicated. It's going to change the way we practice and the way we move forward. I mean, for me personally, I'm looking at jobs right now and applying, and you know, there was a certain type of industry and or certain environment I kind of want to work in, but now it might be, hey, whatever opportunity comes first, you might have to take it, right?
Yeah, I you know, who knows how this is going to affect private care optometry, private practice optometry, because, you know, I'm not, maybe they're all going to just take a nice break. I don't see how they're going to stay afloat. You know, I have questions about, you know, the future of my career myself. There's a lot of uncertainty, and, you know, every week is something different. We're kind of like dealing with it week to week kind of thing. So, best of luck to you with that, but you know, if necessary, I'm sure that we can find a spot for you at my company.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah,
no problem. I mean, I think the right way to do is just kind of think and try to be optimistic, and that's something I think we're both kind of, you know, optimistic, friendly people. And I would say right now, you know, I'm not having any income right now. Student loans are kind of frozen, and if there's any time to kind of crash on my parents' couch, it'd probably be right after graduation for a little bit. So,
yeah, you mentioned also a good thing that you know, everybody should be looking into. There's a lot of banks out there that are giving deferment on paying loans. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's very nice to see the communities kind of coming together and supporting each other. So, you know, if you have your student loans to think about and you're worried about, you know, repaying them right now, if you are currently working, you know, that's something I just applied for recently. And, you know, the bank I was working with is giving me 6 months without paying anything back right now. So there's definitely, look at all your options. And
no, that's a good point, man. I think your point was just, instead of, you know, there's a lot easy ways, opportunities to kind of be negative about everything that's going on, but it's like, be realistic and kind of find the possibilities to maximize yourself right now. Like, everybody's going through something right now, and it's obviously you want to look at your own individual situation, but it's like, how can I make sure that when this is over, I'm in an okay position to keep continuing on with my goals that were there prior? And so,
oh, absolutely. Yes. You know, you got to stay positive. Absolutely. If you carry just a pessimistic, negative view about things, you know, then the world's never going to get better. You have to look for those opportunities in life to make your life better, and then other people's lives better too. So there's lots of opportunities even in the stock market right now. If you're a Canadian like myself, working in the United States, looking to pay back your student loans, or you know, send money to your family back in Canada, you know, it's a great time because of the exchange rate so good right now. But you know, there's lots of things going well right now. Did you hear about the Senate just passing a bill to support businesses?
Absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, there's lots of good things to look forward to. The stock market actually just turned a corner and has started getting the economy started improving as well. So it's great to see.
Small progress, but definitely. So I know you said, you mentioned, obviously I knew this year from Canada. How's your family doing there? And I've heard a lot of people kind of, I know students and have kind of, who are from Canada already have gone back home because they're worried about the border closing. Is that something that's kind of on your mind?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely on my mind. And it just, you know, it's on my mind. My, first of all, my family's doing just fine through this. You know, my mom is already much of a homebody, so I don't feel like her day to day was affected too much, but you know, it's definitely affected everybody. I have friends back home who have turned their house into almost like a World War II bunker with just all the different supplies. And, you know, they could probably last a full 2 years at their house.
So they're the reason we have no toilet paper, huh?
Yeah. It's all them. Yeah. All my friends from Canada for sure. But you know, recently they closed the border to all non-essential travel.
Mm-hmm.
And which I'm wondering why some people I know are still traveling. You know, I probably shouldn't be, but yeah, most of Canada is locked down, full quarantine. You know, people are only talking to each other through social media, through Skype, things like that.
It's the reason we're not talking together today in the same spot.
That's right. And unfortunately, I can't see your beautiful beard right now.
I'll send you a photo or something.
All right, perfect. Well, Instagram has lots of them, so.
There you go, there you go. Yeah. I mean, no, that's interesting, and it's interesting. You're right. Some people aren't taking it seriously, and they're still going out. They're still doing normal activities, and, you know, even some of my peers around me, I feel like maybe I'm over precautious. They're just not as worried or concerned about it. Do you feel like that you've noticed that with people our age?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was a little bit shocked. So I went up north trying to go hiking last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just shocked how many people were out on the trails and still going about it. You know, it was a little nerve-wracking just seeing how many people were out there. And you know, to really practice social distancing, you want to limit your exposure to the amount of people in your day to day. The CDC, I was reading, you know, is recommending limiting your social gatherings to less than 10 people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like this virus is going away anytime soon. We could be seeing it, you know, the same type of practices going on for the next 2 months until the end of May, even.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who knows, right? And that might be even a good projection. And right now, all we can do is like kind of look where it started. Obviously, it started in China, but also looking at Italy, which is a big epicenter. Looking at other states, California, New York, seeing how they're doing. We're both in Arizona, so they may be setting the precedent for what might be for us. And that's where we just have to be proactive. And it's kind of a weird predicament because on social media, what the doctors are saying on CNN, they're saying we should social distance. But at the same time, as medical professionals, you know, I'm a student right now, so I'm obligated to go to clinic. But, you know, you're a medical professional also. You're being encouraged to go to see patients, right? Which is it's an interesting balance. Yeah. You're encouraged to do one thing, but it may be counterintuitive to what your profession is. Have you kind of felt mixed emotions or mixed feelings at times by that?
I can tell you, I was very nervous seeing patients last week until my company came down with more tight regulations and for only essential eye care. You know, I was very nervous about dealing with in close proximity with patients, because you get a patient, you know, 6 inches away from you in a slit lamp, who's has obvious signs of illness or suddenly coughs or sneezes accidentally, you know, I think it'll make anybody in this atmosphere really worried about developing an illness, if not coronavirus. So,
right.
But you know, definitely it's, you know, kudos to all the workers out there, you know, nurses and doctors who are dealing with people or patients on a daily basis. I just met one of my apartment complex neighbors. He's a cardiologist, Dr. Patel, at Abrazo Hospital. And he was telling me that he still sees about 30 patients a day. And, you know, these, you know, overwork is there, but, you know, hopefully, you know, they're all taking the precautions necessary to keep themselves safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely a weird dynamic still going to clinic and seeing patients, but I definitely think it's, you know, if there's an emergency that the patient should be able to be seen. So, but we just have to be careful that not only do we get it, but that we don't spread it to somebody, which would be the worst case scenario, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to stay healthy so we can help out other people. Have you had any interesting cases anybody affected by coronavirus in your life?
That's a good question. You know, I know some family members that are immunocompromised, so I know they're really staying shut inside. I think my sister or one of her friends may have had it, but I would say people right now I kind of associate with are a lot of our age group, and a lot of them, unfortunately, right now they can't really get tested because it's not really tests. And so they're treating it as such that they do have it, but I guess can't really say that they confirmed have it.
And that's the tough thing. The CDC guidelines say, you know, look out for fever, cough, shortness of breath. Well, you and I know that if we, and anybody who goes on Dr. Google right now, we'll find that there's a multitude of different things that can cause just those symptoms. And it's very hard to narrow that down, whether it's allergies or influenza or possible COVID-19 infection. So it's scary times right now, and everybody's heightened awareness of COVID is, you know, causing a lot of panic, but nobody's going to be upset about that panic if it results in preparedness for this infection, because I do think that we haven't seen, you know, nearly the last of this virus. My company has said, you know, we're looking at returning to work by next week, but we're, you know, that's up in the air right now. And even my apartment complex that I'm living at, it said that, okay, they'll probably be seeing coming back to work at the end of the month here. I don't think it's going to be over quite by then. I think, you know, April is going to be a month of still dealing with this virus. So we got to kind of get used to the way we're living right now and make adjustments to make us a little bit more comfortable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as healthcare professionals, we got to prepare for the worst, right? And if something else happens from there, great. But if not, I think being preventative in our care and even how we apply this to our lives is super important.
For sure. So what have you been working on lately?
Just doing podcasts too, trying to see where I can take social media to the next level, and continuing the Instagram. I started a TikTok last week, which has been really fun, and didn't realize how catchy TikTok was. So you have like 15 seconds and the ability to use dancing music to kind of send a message. So that's been kind of like a fun challenge for me. How about yourself?
Are we too old for TikTok?
If we ask, it means we probably are, but that's why I'm not asking.
Okay. So I just outed myself. So I guess I shouldn't get an account then.
Now there's all types of people on there, man. And you know, I think it just takes some creativity, and there's obviously some youth on there, but I mean, I say no harm in us joining it.
Yeah, that one TikTok video that you posted, it made me laugh for sure.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, everybody should go check it out.
So we kind of talked about how, you know, we kind of got here before everything happened. We talked about how it's kind of the virus is affecting us now, and we kind of talked where the virus will probably take us. And that's kind of uncertain, where we kind of said, we don't know how the job market's going to be. We don't know when you're going to get back in clinic. We don't know if I'm going to have to stay in clinic longer or even graduate, right? Like, some schools have already postponed their graduation, which is crazy to think. I know schools doing like a virtual graduation, and it would just be just like we're, you know, using FaceTime or photo booth here to kind of take a video. It'd be just like that. I couldn't imagine graduating like that, right? So for all you know, I'm wearing shorts right now. So, I mean, that's when I graduate. And that's such a weird topic after 4 years of work. But it's like there's bigger problems going on right now. So it's like the uncertainty is it's unusual.
No, absolutely. I can tell you, you know, you worked so hard for these last 4 years. You deserve a great graduation.
I mean, we got to hope for everybody's health and the best. But I think, you know, that's the hard part about all this. But we just got to keep our head up and keep pushing and make sure at the end of this, we're just in a good situation too. So, and hopefully, you know, someone could take away, you know, messages that they can apply to their life from this talk. Hey, you know, your situation may be hard and uncertain, but just keep pushing, grinding, look for options and looking for different things, how you can expand after this. Like, I know you're telling me you want to expand your Instagram game, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be creating a Instagram theme page for anybody related in eye care. And it's going to be kind of just mainly a fun page for different types of memes and different interesting content videos regarding eye care. And that's going to be launching pretty soon. So right now the name is Easy Eye Care. And you can check that out probably by the time this podcast posts.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it's cool that you're making a video Instagram page, and who knows where that will go, but I know you have creativity, and I'm excited to see where that's going to go.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's something that I haven't ever done before. So it's going to be a little bit of a learning experience. I'm sorry if some of the content doesn't come out as quickly as some of the other pages right off the bat, but I will build it up a little bit, and it's going to be a fun place for everybody. Even if you're not in eye care, you're going to be able to enjoy the content on it easily, and it should be pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it, man. So, you know, this is a great conversation, man. I think we talked about some great things. Is there anything you want to say in terms of like a summary or kind of anything message you took away?
Yeah, not really anything I want to touch on. Just I hope everybody is safe. You know, practice social distancing as much as possible. We did it for this podcast. I would love to be able to get together for a beer afterwards, but you know, we'll do that at some other point in the future. And you know, if anybody has any questions or concerns about eye care, you can visit you can call into your optometrist for those eye care concerns, and try not to, you know, use the valuable resources at the hospital if it's for an eye care only related concern.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. There's limited spaces, and so if you have an eye concern, we're still open for emergencies, a lot of us. So, you know, definitely you and I are both going to clinic, and so if you're you know, a normal person, you have some eye issues, feel free to get that taken care of with one of the optometrists. But if you're an optometrist, you listen to this, or a student or any industry, just keep your head up, plan, use this time to kind of get stronger, plan for the future. Like we're kind of doing, we're thinking about where we want to go in the future, and just give yourself the best chance to succeed after this while still trying to be precautious and preventative. So
that's right. The future is bright and we will get through this.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, James, it was great talking to you. I think we're going to work on a lot of stuff in the future, so I'm excited for that, but great to have this first start with you. All right.
Yeah. You too, Jesse. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for having me.